I want to talk this morning about giving thanks. I know it's not really necessarily an original topic to come up with a couple of days after Thanksgiving. But it's not an original topic to come up with as you go through Scripture anyway. In Psalm 105, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord and call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him, sing psalms to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth." We talk a lot about having those pillars of testimony. You see them in the Old Testament, where they marked where God did this or that God did that. Remember as they walked through the Jordan River as the children of Israel had come out of bondage in Egypt and gone through the Red Sea and spent 40 years in the wilderness. As they went through the Jordan River, as God stopped up the flood of the Jordan River, and as they went across, they picked 12 stones out of the bottom of the river. And when they got out, they built an altar and they marked a place. This is where God did this. Remember where Jacob, when after having tricked Isaac at the behest of his mother and cheated his brother out of his birthright, he got to the place and found out it was none other than the house of God. So he called it Bethel, house of God. It's where he saw the ladder with the angels ascending and descending. And he set up a pillar. He set up a place right there to mark, this is where God did this. All through Scripture, all through the Old Testament, there are places where they will set up a marker to denote what God has done. And I tell people all the time, it's important to have markers in our own lives. Remember the things that God has done, what He's brought us through, where we've been, and how God intervened in our lives. Setting up those pillars of testimony that when our faith is tested, when we find ourselves in a situation that seems overwhelming, we can just look back and recognize that God has already brought us through some pretty amazing things. There are things we would not have gotten through if God hadn't brought us through it. If God had not intervened in such and such, in this way or that way, we would not be here. Every last one of us has testimonies of things where, had it not been for the grace and tender mercies of God, we'd have been dead. Every last one of us. You know, and that's just not the people here in the room. That's pretty much everybody listening. If you look back over your lives, you'll find there are times where the sovereign hand of an almighty God moved in your heart and in your life and in your circumstances. And had God not done it, it could have gone way, way bad for you. Whether it's being on an airplane and hitting some turbulence and having the plane all of a sudden drop 100 feet. I can tell you, that is not fun, especially when it's a small plane and you're going around the mountain. That is not fun at all. You know, or the different things we happen to have, whether a car accident or you know, grabbing the wrong cleaning liquid. My mom almost died because she was cleaning in a small closet and had mixed two chemicals that she didn't know were going to produce a deadly gas and could have killed her. But we can go back and we can look and just give thanks to the Lord for the wondrous things He's done in our lives. That God has intervened in our lives in so many wondrous ways. And as we look at that, we can stop and booster our faith and take comfort in the fact that God, who began the good work, is faithful to complete us. God has brought us this far with the intention of bringing us on, not leaving us right here. He hasn't just saved us. He hasn't just intervened in our lives just so that we can sit here, or just that this is all that we can or should do. God has worked in each and every one of us for a purpose. He's shown His grace and mercy, if for no other reason than that we can share that grace and mercy with other people. That we can encourage other people, that we can strengthen them. Let them know that the God, that we serve a God who hears and answers prayers. We serve a God who works in people's hearts and lives. We serve a God who actually makes a difference in our lives and has changed us and continues to change us. In 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul giving some instructions to the Thessalonian church. And among the things he says, beginning with at verse 14, 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning with verse 14, says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all." So before we go any further, Paul says, every situation you find yourself in, you're there to have an input. If somebody's unruly, you're supposed to warn them. If somebody's faint-hearted, you're supposed to comfort them. If somebody's weak, you're supposed to uphold them. But you're supposed to be patient with all. We're supposed to be having an impact in people's lives. Being part of the lives of the people that are in our circle, the people that we encounter. Being salt and light in every situation we find ourselves in. It goes on, verse 16 says, "Rejoice always." How many times do we find ourselves in a situation and the first thought in the mortal, everyday, average person is something to complain about? You talk to people, and I'm very guilty of this. You know, talk to somebody, "Hey, how you doing?" They say, "I can't complain." Like, amateur. If you're wanting to complain, you can always find something to complain about. Rather, a better choice was, "How am I doing?" One group of people that I've talked to in the past always say, "I'm blessed and highly favored." Okay, yes, you are. But is that because you feel that way, or is it because that's what you're taught to say? "How are you doing? I am thankful that God's at work. I'm thankful that God is still on the throne." Rejoice always. In every situation, if we will look deep enough, we will see God at work. Even in pain, even in devastation, even in turmoil. God's fingerprints are evident if we open our eyes to see them. So there is always something to rejoice about, that no matter what's going on, God hasn't left us and He's still at work. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything give thanks. That's what Paul is telling the Thessalonian church. That's what Paul is still telling us today. No matter what our circumstances are, we are called to give thanks. Because we know that God has us engraved in the palm of His hands. We know that God is at work in our lives. We know that God has not left us nor forsaken us. And if we get our eyes and our hearts wrapped around those thoughts, if we get that embedded into our understanding that no matter what's going on, God is still God. God is still in control. God is still at work. We can rejoice that no matter what's going on, here's an opportunity for God to show His grace and mercy and work in my life. Maybe God needs to get some of the edges off of me and polish me up a little bit. Maybe that's what God's doing. On to verse 19. "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will also do it." It's God that's doing the work in us. It is God that is changing us from glory to glory. It is God that is allowing the circumstances in our lives to cause us to draw closer to Him. Sometimes the circumstances in our life drive us to our knees. As we are driven to our knees, it is not it's not for the purpose of punishing us. It's not for the purpose of lording it over us. It's not for the purpose of trying to make us feel bad about ourselves. It's for the purpose that we would come to in right relationship with God. As we examine ourselves in the midst of our circumstances, as we're on our knees crying out to God, as we are seeking the face of the Lord, as we are recognizing how much and how helpless we are without Him, that God begins to work in us and show His grace and mercy through us. As we're talking about giving thanks, I wanted to go back into the Old Testament, go back into the law, and take a look at some of the things they talked about with a thanks offering. Doing an offering for thanksgiving, only because it puts things in perspective. In Leviticus 7, beginning with verse 11, it says, "This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of a blended flour mixed with oil. Besides the cake as his offering, he shall offer leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. And from it he shall offer one cake from each offering as a heave offering to the Lord, and it shall belong to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offering. The flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall not be eaten, or shall be eaten the same day it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning." And you say, "Andrew, why in the world would you go back to the Old Testament and pull this out? We're not under the law anymore." I just want to show you that in those days, when they were doing an offering of thanks to the Lord, it cost something. It wasn't just thank you. It was a recognition that God had done something wondrous in people's lives, and they wanted to make a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And as they made the sacrifice of thanksgiving, it cost something. It wasn't just, you know, a word. It was actually stopping and reflecting and realized that it came from their substance. They had to provide something. And as they were providing it, it makes them stop and think, do I really want to give thanks to the Lord? This is going to cost me. Do I want to give thanks to the Lord? And yet they did it because they recognized that God had done wondrous things in their lives. I think in our modern day, it's so common that we are willing to say thank you without actually stopping to think about what we're actually doing. We're willing to say thank you. We're willing to acknowledge something that it's somewhat, so often on a very superficial level. Every last one is, as I said before, every last one of us has the testimony of how God intervened in our lives. And had God not intervened, had God not brought us through some circumstances, we wouldn't be here. And it's so easy to forget that. It's so easy to just go on about our lives without taking the time to stop and recognize that God has done wondrous things in our life. That God has shown Himself merciful on your behalf. That God has shown Himself powerful on your behalf. That God has intervened in circumstances that had the Lord not intervened, it would have been devastating. There would have been no hope and no light through it. Leviticus talks about the gravity of giving an offering for thanksgiving, letting us know that it's important. And then final passage of Scripture, we're going to take a look at Hebrews 13, beginning with verse 10. Now back in Leviticus, we read that part of the offering was to be given to the priest, and the priest would eat it, which ties right in with Hebrews 13:10. Says, "We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifices of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And do not forget to do well and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. In these days, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, we don't have to offer bulls and goats for a sin offering. Jesus has paid the price for our sin. And the sacrifice of God, or the sacrifice of praise that we offer to God, the sacrifice of thanksgiving that we offer to God now, isn't the bread that goes with the animal for the sin offering, or for the offering for thanksgiving. It is the fruit of our lips praising God, also doing good and sharing, being a blessing to the people around us, is praising God. The Scriptures tells us that he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord himself will repay. Jesus said, whatsoever you do to the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Part of loving God, we read in 1 John, part of loving God is loving our neighbor who we have seen. So this giving thanks that we are called to do is not just one day a year. It is an attitude. It is a lifestyle where we reflect the grace and glory and grace of God to the people around us. We reflect the mercy of God to the people around us. Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. What we just read here in Hebrews, that giving thanks to God, it still costs something. It's still something of value. It is not just words. It is not just, a little card or whatever. It is actually making a difference and making an impact. That's what we're called to do. Giving of thanks is more than just saying some magic words. Many of us, as we were raising our kids, now what do you say? Please, what do you say? Thank you. But understanding that we're not kids anymore, and recognize that thank you is more than just what you're supposed to say in this situation. It is an attitude of heart that reaches out and tries to help the people around us. So we thank you, Father. Lord, that we have this opportunity to look at your word, an opportunity, Lord, Father, just to give praise to your name, an opportunity, Lord, to thank you, an opportunity, Father, just to read through and recognize the ways that we are called to show our gratitude to you by touching the lives of people around us. The way that we are called to show our love to you is in loving those people you put in our path. The way that we are called to be a light and be a witness for you, to be a representative for you, we're called ambassadors for you, is to show your grace, your love, and your mercy to the people we encounter. That each one may recognize that we serve a God of love. We serve a God of peace. We serve a God of righteousness. We serve a God of truth. That the God who made the way for our sins to be forgiven, who sent his own son to pay the price, the God who draws us in reconciliation, the God whose arm is not short that it cannot save, nor ear heavy that it cannot hear, but is reaching out to each and every one, that it's not your will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And you've called us, Father, to be lights, witnesses, and ambassadors of that truth. So Lord, as we give praise and give thanks to you, in our giving of thanks, let it be by showing your love and grace and mercy to the people around us. That we be a light in the darkness. That we be an encouragement to those who are struggling. That we strengthen those that are weak. We lift up the hands that hang down and be a blessing. Father, we give you all the praise in Jesus' name.
Amen.